All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
December 29th, 1999. The air is crisp and cool in the mid-50s. It's your 16th birthday. You celebrate by going out to get pizza with your parents and your best friend since kindergarten, and everything feels perfect. You go home, and your best friend comes over for a sleepover. You stay up late, open presents, go to bed, and have no idea the nightmare that awaits you. Throughout human history, there have been stories. Stories that chill us to the bone, leaving us questioning the world around us, and remind us that truth is often stranger than fiction. These tales echo through time, whispers of unexplained disappearances, restless spirits, and crimes so baffling they defy logic. Tonight, we peel back the layers of reality to uncover the darkness lurking just beneath the surface. Was it fate, chance, or something far more sinister? Journey with us as we delve into the mysterious, the supernatural, and the true crimes that have haunted our collective consciousness. This is All Things Mysterious, where the shadows hold secrets, and every story is a puzzle waiting to be solved. Ashley Freeman was said to be an all-star athlete and a true best friend. She was reserved and sweet, and especially close to her grandfather, Glenn. She was also best friends with Laura Bible, also 16 and a big talker. Laura was a cheerleader, opposite but complimentary. Both girls were country girls at heart. Ashley turned 16 December 29th, 1999, and celebrated her birthday with her family and best friend of many years, Laura Bible. After dinner, they went back to Ashley's house for a sleepover. But the next morning, firefighters were called to the Welch, Oklahoma residence, which was completely engulfed in flames. Hearing the news, Laura's family rushed to the scene, unsure of what they would find. After putting out the fire, one body was found. A broad-shouldered woman with a wedding band, presumed to be Ashley's mother, Kathy Freeman. But she didn't die by fire. She died by gunshot wound to the back of the head. Police called in the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, or OSBI, to investigate the scene, and theories began to flood in. Their first theory was that Danny Freeman, Ashley's father, who had not been found, had taken the girls and ran after murdering her mother and setting fire to the evidence. Now, to break this down a little, here's some backstory. Ashley had a brother and Danny had a son. His name was Shane. Unfortunately, he had some behavioral issues and began stealing and having trouble with the police. He was stealing cars, I believe from family members, but it's not clear who the vehicle was actually stolen from. A year before the girl's disappearance, he was found sleeping in a stolen vehicle and either pulled a firearm on an officer or attempted to. Danny was also rumored to have drug problems, marijuana and methamphetamine. There were also child abuse charges filed on Danny for the way that he punished Shane for his actions. So police believed he may be acting out of sheer rage and completely lost it, killing his wife and abducting both girls.
Okay, so one, I feel for him on that aspect, the fact that, you know, his son was killed by the police. I could only imagine having to go through something like that. And if it happened to one of my kids, I would probably be in the same kind of rage. However, this theory never made sense to me. because I could understand him taking his daughter, but why would he kidnap her best friend? Like, that part never made sense to me.
No, and I agree with you on that, because just why? Like, what's the motivation behind it? In my opinion, that's just going to get even more people involved. And my thoughts on this, obviously, the girls were over there quite a bit. And from what I know of both families, I don't think that Laura's family would allow her over there so often if they thought they were bad people.
Yeah, and I mean, from what I understand, you know, both families were really close. I don't think if he was a bad person or, you know, he was a danger to them, that they would let their daughter go over there as much. This theory just never made sense to me. You know, the fact that I don't think he would have hurt his daughters. But, you know, obviously I've been wrong before. Many people like to point that out.
It's one of my favorite things to do personally.
Except for Jordan can never point it out because I'm always right, but, you know.
You're wrong all the time.
I'm only wrong if you prove me wrong, and you can never prove me wrong.
Oh, my God. Insufferable.
I am. For bringing back the old dynamics where I disagree with Jordan all the time just to get a rise out of her. But, yeah, this theory never made sense to me. So, continue. Maybe you'll finally have something interesting.
The OSBI released the scene that very night, focusing solely on finding Danny. The same night. The next morning, Jay and Lorraine, Laura's parents, went to the crime scene themselves because the crime scene was released to see if they could find any evidence. And they found evidence in the form of a body. That's right. They missed an entire body. Technically, they missed two, because they found a male body and a Rottweiler curled up next to it. The body was wearing a flannel shirt and gray sweatpants. He had been stepped all over, boot prints covering everything. And this is really gross, but part of his head had been stomped in, and they had to ID him based on wire found in his sinus cavity from a reconstructive surgery. And that is how they discovered that, in fact, was Danny Freeman. So they were very wrong, because Danny had also died by gunshot wound to the back of the head.
All right. This is one of those rare times that I'm actually going to give the cops a little bit of a pass here, because the firefighters are the one who fucked that up. You know, they're supposed to be clearing the house and make sure there's no bodies. I mean, I do agree that the cops definitely should have found it after the fact, but firefighters definitely should have found it first.
Okay, but still, like, how do you miss a whole freaking body? Let alone also the dog. Okay, but, like, a whole body.
I mean, to be fair, once they get burnt, they're kind of, you know, black and crispy.
Okay, but, like, two completely untrained people found this body. Untrained. They were just like, oh, let's go see if we can find some evidence ourselves. Because, you know, they released it the same day, which is, I'm not even going there right now because that's, I can't. But they were like, we're going to go find evidence ourselves because clearly, what are they doing? And they were like, oh, look, a whole ass human.
Yeah. But again, benefit of the doubt, when the fire happened, it was nighttime. Harder to see, and then they went during the daytime, which, you know, obviously would be easier to see things.
Which just tells me they weren't doing their job.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not disagreeing on that. I mean, I've made myself perfectly clear that these people should not be investigating anything. And the sad part is it's the state agency, you know, who are supposed to be, like, top of the line. But it just... I gotta give them a little bit of benefit of the doubt here, just because, you know, yes, they shouldn't have released the scene so quickly. Yes, honestly, it looks suspicious that they did. But, I mean, it is a small town. And was it the actual OSBI at the time? Because I don't think they got involved until later on, did they?
No, they were called pretty much right away. Welch, Oklahoma was pretty aware that they couldn't handle a case like this, which, power to them, because they definitely couldn't. But for whatever reason, they call the OSBI pretty quickly.
Yeah, I don't know. Give a slight benefit of the doubt, but at the same time, do your job. I'm really trying here. It's hard because they fucked it up so severely.
Are you ready to be mad? Because at this point, the girls still are not listed as missing. The authorities had to start rethinking their theories because Danny was not the suspect anymore. They recontained the house as a crime scene and researched it, and they found Laura's purse, her keys, her money, Kathy's purse, and decided that robbery wasn't a motive. They then thought it could have been a drug deal gone bad and opened a tip line. Calls came flooding in. There were reports of Laura and Ashley being seen at a party just 2 days after the fire. But unfortunately, there was no proof. Just waiting for the rant about witness evidence.
Yes. Because I've spoken about this many times in the past. I severely, severely hate eyewitness testimony and eyewitness accounts. It is very well documented that eyewitnesses are very inaccurate and honestly should not be used as evidence. I don't know why, even to this day, that, you know, the fact that we know this and they're still being used as evidence in crimes and court cases and stuff is just ridiculous to me. But with that being said, I also hate how, like, they just kind of are going down this, like, checklist of possibilities. First it was Danny. Then it obviously has to be drugs. And it's just like, to me, logically, you know, where my mind goes is, you know, two young girls. They were both very pretty. You know, to me, that says one thing. Definitely has nothing to do with drugs. There's a lot of sick people in this world. Why are they going through all these possibilities and, like, hyper-focusing on them?
I'm not sure they knew where to start with this one, to be honest. They had their one theory from the get-go, and they focused so hard on Danny, which obviously did not get them places, because then they found him, and they were like, wait a minute, we have to start thinking of something else, and then I don't think they knew where to go from there.
But, I mean, I would believe that if it was, like, the Welch, you know, police department, probably don't deal with a lot of murders and stuff. But this is OSBI, the state agency. They deal with a lot of murders. To me, it's almost like conspiracy theories-ish, you know, territory, because it's like they're purposely trying to avoid the most logical explanation.
It's possible. It's also possible that they just had this, wow, it's Welch, Oklahoma, such a small town. The only thing that really could be happening here is drugs. Kind of mentality.
I mean, it is Oklahoma, so that is true.
And I don't know if that's where they were going with it. I truly don't know.
I don't know. I don't understand it. Like, maybe it's just because, you know, that's the way my mind works. And, you know, we've done enough of these cases that that's the first place my mind goes, is obviously someone kidnapped them for other reasons. And I don't know. I mean, drugs just doesn't make sense. Danny taking them didn't make sense to me. It's just like they're purposely trying to avoid. It's weird to me. Weird. That's it.
There was a tip that came in from a former meth cook. Remember, they were looking into the drug deal gone bad theory, named Randall Maxwell, saying that it was a drug deal gone wrong. And he had a source that told him somebody shot Danny and Kathy for drug money, kidnapped the girls, and raped them. Witnesses even signed affidavits saying they saw the girls at a local drug house owned by a man named Chester Shadwick, drugged, tied, and raped, claiming they'd been left alive there for over a week. Now, unfortunately, nothing came of this. They did search Chester's home, they found tapes there and film, and they did find blood. But when they tested it, they found it was not human.
Convict them and throw the key away.
Matthew, we don't do that without evidence.
All the evidence we need is that his name is Chester.
We don't do that to people without evidence.
Fuck Chester. I truly, truly, truly hate the name Chester. Except for one person. And that's because he works with us.
Yeah, we like that one.
Yeah, that's the only one. But he's guilty. I mean, let's just throw him in jail. It's the only time that I agree that we should just throw him in jail.
We can't do that to people without the evidence, Matthew.
We have all the evidence we need. His name's Chester.
That's not what we... No. No, no.
Yeah, definitely. But no, again, eyewitness testimony is very unreliable. Especially when it comes to like the drug trade and all that stuff. Because, you know, it's probably just a rival drug dealer who's trying to get competition taken out. And I mean, aside from the fact that there's really no evidence that they were involved in the drug trade or did drugs, like, again, I feel like Laura's parents would know that if they were, you know, especially, you know, if they were users. I mean, let's be honest, drug users are not very good at hiding it.
They think they are, though.
But it doesn't make sense to me. And this is not one, you know, another one of those series that just never made sense to me. There would be evidence, and there's just no evidence that they were even involved in anything drug related.
Nothing but rumor.
Yeah. Don't think they were involved in the drug trade, and Chester can go to prison for the rest of his life.
Stop with the Chester.
Fuck Chester.
At one point, a serial killer decided to confess to the murders. His name was Tommy Lynn Sell, and he confessed to murdering both girls. He had recently killed a 13-year-old girl in Texas, which was close enough for the OSBI to believe he could have done it. It was a valid enough confession for the state to allow him to guide them to Ashley and Laura's bodies. But surprise, surprise, when he took them to the supposed burial spot, there were no bodies. Also, his murder MO did not match the fire and kidnapping aspect.
Again, this doesn't make sense to me. So, we've talked about this before. Serial killers basically have a type. They usually don't stray from that type. And the fact that he killed a 13-year-old girl, while they seem in the similar age range as a 16-year-old girl, very much different categories.
Well, not to mention, I know Texas and Oklahoma share a border, but there were very many hours of space between where he actually did the murder of the 13-year-old as compared to Welch, Oklahoma. So it's like, did you though? Did you really?
Yeah. And, I mean, we've also talked about this before. Serial killers are often confessed to crimes they didn't commit to kind of boost their notoriety, I guess.
Well, and not to mention, he was in prison at the time, and there's a solid chance that he was just like, I bet I can get out of prison for a bit just to get out and go lead the police on this, you know, wild goose chase.
Yeah, and then, I mean, because at that point, he was already in prison. He didn't really have much to lose. I mean, and then there's the other aspect of it that I forgot where I was going now.
The notoriety?
Yeah, yeah, the notoriety. Because, I mean, especially in this area, like, I don't know nationally if it was a huge story, but around this area, because we're not that far from Welch, it was a pretty big story. Even back then, like, you know, I was 11 years old, almost 12 years old. I remember hearing about this case. I mean, it was a huge story in this area.
Yeah, we both grew up hearing about it.
Yeah. Like every milestone, you know, like the 5th year anniversary, 10th year. Even recently, it was the 25th anniversary, which is kind of wild. But it just, I don't know. It's, I don't trust when serial killers confess to crimes like this. Especially when they don't find the body. Like, it'd be one thing if they actually found the bodies, which I know at this point that's kind of the only thing that the family really wants is to be able to find the bodies. It's just, it messed up. I mean, they essentially get to victimize more victims just by confessing and, you know, giving them hope that they're going to find the bodies. And the fact that the police kind of played into it is kind of messed up. But yeah, I don't put too much stock in this. So that's all.
Around 2005, a man named Jeremy Jones was arrested in Alabama for rape, murder, and arson. As you can imagine, that's very similar to our case in Welch, Oklahoma. And he is from Welch, Oklahoma. So Mobile, Alabama police actually connected the dots and connected back to the police in Welch, Oklahoma, because Jeremy Jones told Alabama police,
"All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO."
Add to that, he was arrested the morning of the fire, just 15 minutes away, drunk and in possession of a syringe. At the very least, we do know Jeremy Jones was sentenced to death for his crimes in Alabama.
Okay, again, this one is very circumstantial for me, mostly because I agree that the MOs are kind of similar. But we don't actually know if, you know, the girls were raped.
Well, and that's the thing. So at some point, he said that the girls' bodies were dumped in mine shafts in Galena, Kansas, which is pretty dang close to Welch, Oklahoma. And we're local to the area, right? And there's mines everywhere here. Just everywhere. It's just a mining area. And the mines were searched, but nothing was found. The problem is there's like thousands and thousands of mines. Thousands.
No. Yeah, unfortunately, if they were put in a mine, it'll be very unlikely that they'll ever be found. Especially since then, a lot of those mines were sealed up.
Not to mention what sort of animals and everything else goes in and out. So there's no telling. Just due to the nature of the safety of going in and out of the mines and everything else, because it's not a place you want to go.
I think the family has kind of accepted that, you know, they're gone, but I can't even imagine going through what they've been going through for, especially for the last 25 years, you know, because they lost their daughter, her best friend. And I'm sure in some aspects, you know, they were obviously friends with her parents. So,
oh yeah. I mean, they lost like a whole family.
Yeah. And I feel for him. I definitely think that the police have fucked up this investigation severely. And I think that they should have done a better job, period. They definitely hyper-focused on the wrong things for too much of the investigation. It's horrible that when you're in a situation like this, that you're kind of reliant on whoever's investigating and how good of a job they do.
It is, and that's the situation that they were put in. And that's all they could do, which just, it hurts my soul.
Yeah, I mean, there's a case that I recently was watching that the police essentially weren't investigating and weren't doing a good job. So the family actually had to sue to get the police department to release the case file. And then they had to hire a private detective to find answers. And you shouldn't have to pay to get justice for your kids. They should be doing their job to begin with. And I think that's something that people don't talk about enough, is how many cases go unsolved basically just because the detective or whoever's assigned to it doesn't want to do a good job or doesn't do a good job. And I think there's not enough talk about that. You know, there should be more accountability for detectives who shouldn't be detectives, basically, who don't do a good job. I mean, I don't know. It's frustrating to me.
No, I agree. And I think that some of it, not all by any means, is something that you learn a little bit on the job, but that's not something that you should also learn on the job at all.
No, and I mean, there's got to be, like, in my opinion, it definitely takes a special type of person to be a detective. Because you got to ask those questions that, you know, not many people will think of. Another thing is you can't get hyper-focused on one thing. Like, I truly, truly hate that. Like, when detectives will get just hyper-focused on one suspect or one, you know, theory, and they just essentially don't look into anything else. Like, you know, I've said this multiple times. If one of my family members was murdered, I don't want someone just to get arrested. I want the person who actually did it to get arrested.
Well, yeah, because if we just go with, I don't know, this person fits all the boxes, we don't know for sure if that's who actually did it or not. And then what if that person that actually did it is still just out there doing it to other people? We don't know.
Yeah, I mean, arresting someone that didn't do it does not help the victim, does not help the victim's family. And it sure as hell does not help the general public, because the person who kills is eventually going to kill again. I don't know how many cases there are out there that where the killer essentially gets away with it, someone else gets convicted, and then they keep on killing. And the justice system wants to protect itself. So, like, there's been many times where someone has been essentially proven innocent, and it still takes them months or years to get out of prison. I mean, that to me is just ridiculous. If someone else obviously gets arrested for the crime, confesses to it, why the fuck would it take years for that other person who did get convicted of it to get out? Like, that just does not make sense to me.
Because our justice system is all sorts of screwed up.
I mean, it is. And prosecutors who don't want to admit that they're wrong, and they'll literally fight to the death to hold up a conviction that they were a part of just because they don't want it to look like they were, you know, did something wrong. That to me is just stupid, and it's counterintuitive, and it's not good for anybody. I think prosecutors need to be held to a higher standard. I think that, you know, if they mess up, they need to be called on it. And honestly, they probably shouldn't be a prosecutor if they're not going to admit that they made a mistake. Because to me, I think it's the fact that they don't want to admit that they made a mistake.
Too, like, much pride.
I know, but, like, we're human. Everybody makes mistakes. If you seriously think that you don't ever make a mistake, I know one thing about you, and that's that you're a liar.
Amen.
Because everybody makes mistakes. It's human nature. But if you can't admit that you make a mistake, that's even worse, because now you're making the mistake and you're not going to learn from it. It frustrates me. I truly hate it. And that's all for my soapbox for today.
Laura's mom, Lorraine, never gave up. She set up a Facebook page and took all sorts of crazy tips. And listen, I have so much respect for this woman. She was taking tips about drug dealers and meeting them on their own property and asking them to search their property for evidence. And there were people who actually let them search, which is so freaking awesome. She searched backyards and wells, but unfortunately, she never found anything.
I have mad respect for these people. The amount of stuff that they've done since this is just amazing. Like, truly, I would love to, like, have them on the podcast and just interview them.
I can't even say the amount of respect that I have for them, because, like, obviously Ashley and her family can't speak up for themselves, but Lorraine and Jay, they speak up for them. They are doing everything that they can to speak up for them. And let me tell you, are they doing it? Which is just a level of respect that I can't even breach.
No. I mean, even from what I can see, even to this day, they still do interviews and stuff like that and try to keep the case alive. And, you know, it amazes me. And I have a lot of respect for them, because I don't even know if roles were reversed, I'm not sure if I could keep going that long.
I mean, if I God forbid, was ever in her shoes. I would hope that I would, but I don't know if I could. I honestly don't. I don't know if I would have that kind of strength. And they do, which is just amazing beyond words.
I don't know. And I could be totally wrong. I have not gone through something like that, but it would just feel like trying to fight as long as they have. I don't think they're going to be able to properly grieve like they need to.
Maybe this is their way of grieving. I have no idea. I know everybody grieves differently, but my God, just these people are the absolute most amazing.
The fact that they kind of keep it to the forefront like every day. I mean, that takes a lot of strength. A lot
they
more.
They are so much stronger than I think I ever could be.
Oh, 100%. Like, definitely would love to interview them at some point. That would truly be an awesome experience.
The epitome of strength, those people.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's one thing to lose your kids, but then to have to kind of relive it every day. I don't know if I would be strong enough to do that, honestly. And then not to know what happened, too, has got to be even harder.
But they keep going every day.
Yeah.
Oklahoma had some new administration changes, and in 2018, an arrest was made. Charges were filed on a man named Ronnie Dean Busick for the murder of both girls, acting in concert with a man named Phil Welch and Dave Pennington for abducting both girls and keeping them alive for up to a week. They cited evidence of Polaroids that were found of the girls tied up, raped, and tortured, some with Phil Welch next to them. They were supposedly found in a leather briefcase belonging to Welch, who kept it like a trophy. Absolutely disgusting. Unfortunately, Phil Welch and Dave Pennington had both passed away before they could stand trial. But Ronnie Busick had made a lot of statements about what he had supposedly done to the girls and threatened anyone he told with violence. But someone finally broke. So he cut a deal. He pled guilty to withholding information and accessory to murder and was sentenced to 10 years in prison and 5 years probation. And unfortunately, darn, he would most likely die within that time due to his bad health, due to prolonged drug use. Supposedly, the reasoning was Danny Freeman owed him money, and this was his collection.
So, spoiler alert, that did not happen. In a rare case, we're going to have a slight update on this one. So, he was actually released from prison on May 19th, 2023.
That's disgusting.
He just served 38 months in prison, and he was released for good behavior. Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of fucked up. This dude definitely should not have been released from prison. This is what I feel like the prosecutor is severely fucked up on. Because I probably would have gave him the same deal that they would on the grounds that he would have led them to their bodies. It does not make sense to me that they did not force that.
Especially because he pled guilty.
Yeah. He pled guilty because they made this deal with him. But I don't understand. When you make a deal like that, you can put conditions on it. And prosecutors often will. For, you know, them to actually go on record with what their part of it was or confess to the crime. But in this case, they fucking should have made a condition that he lead them to where their body was. And I don't understand why they didn't.
The only thing that I can think of is maybe one of the other two that were involved were the ones that disposed of the girls, which is disgusting, but maybe he legitimately didn't know. That's the only thing I can think of.
Then don't give him the deal. I mean, I understand that, you know, maybe there is a chance that he didn't know, but he would have at least a good idea or at least a place to where they could look. I mean, they were friends.
Right? I mean, he'd been telling these stories all over the place.
Yeah. I definitely think he was more involved than what he led on to. unfortunately, with him being the only one alive, you know, he kind of gets to set the narrative of what happened. There's no one that can really, you know, go against that. But I definitely believe that he knows a lot more than what he was saying. I think that the fact that he didn't lead them to their bodies or let them know where the bodies was, because at the very least, he'll know, like, the general area where they're at.
You would think.
This goes again back into the whole justice system, how, you know, 90% of cases get pleaded out and, you know, have like deals instead of actually going to trial because they're lazy. I mean, let's be honest, that's the only reason they do it. It's just, it's frustrating. Like, they had an opportunity to actually learn not only what happened to the girls, but where their bodies are, and they didn't force it, which is weird to me. I would imagine that the family was pushing for that, you know.
I just feel like they let this family down, both families. They let them both down so consistently.
And every victim in this case. I mean, it's frustrating. Again, I have no doubt that he was definitely involved in the, you know, their murders. But why, as a prosecutor, will you not help this family get closure and, you know, let the girls be found? I don't get it. I really don't.
I also would love to know. To this day, Ashley Freeman and Laura Bible have not been found. While supposedly the case has been solved, their family may never be fully at peace, and neither will they. Lost at 16 years old, hopefully, one day to finally be found.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.